Philippians 4 and verse 6. Let me just go get straight into it. All right. It says this, be careful for nothing. We've been looking at this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, it says, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Then Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, and he said this, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this, that the scripture tells us, God says that, or Paul said this, that we should not, all right, be fearful or entertain thoughts of anxiety about, or anxious thoughts about anything concerning our future, what might happen. He said, well, he understands that if those are the only thoughts that you have as a person, as the psalmist said, then there's nothing else you can do but to just, all right, think on, all right, those things there. But it tells us this, all right, it says, and David had talked, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, and how long shall the enemy, all right, ride over me? He said, answer me, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. So the thought of anxiety there, God says, instead of doing that, by prayer and supplication. And we've explained what those two words mean. Prayer and supplication. It says, make your requests known unto God. And God will respond to it. And what will happen is the peace of God that passeth all understanding, all right, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And so because, you know, the issues of your life come out of your heart, if there are thoughts of anxiety and that is what dominates your heart, then that is what is going to dominate, all right, in your life. And there will be chaos and things will not, you know, just, all right, be in order and things will be everywhere. So God says, well, you have prayed about this. Now what he's going to do, and we saw this in Jeremiah 29:11. It says in 12, it talks about calling upon him. But it says the reason why you should call upon him in 11 is that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. So in 12, he now says, so you should go and call upon me. In other words, in order for you to be able to get this thought. So he will begin to pour his thoughts into your heart. When God answers prayer, all right, many of us look on the outside to check whether there is any improvement in our condition on the outside, whether things are swaying, all right, in our favor. But that's not the primary way, that's not the way God answers prayers. He answers them within us. He sends his word into us. His word is an uttered thought. When I speak, I am uttering thoughts. Thoughts that have come to my mind. Words are articulation, which means you're articulating thoughts and ideas. So he sends his thoughts. It says, as the thoughts of God are higher, all right, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts and ways. Then as rain falls, all right, and watereth the earth. So it is his thoughts that come right in answer to prayer as rain, and his thoughts are going to make you fruitful. All right, so his thoughts, he sends his thoughts in. And that's why Paul went on and said, there are certain kinds of things you must think on. Right, these are the thoughts that come from God. They are the only ones that you should accommodate in your mind until the manifestation comes. He said, think on these things. And this is what we're emphasizing. That, listen, it says, these thoughts with this quality, and these are things that come from God, think, all right, on these things, because this is how things are going to change in your life. That the Bible tells us that, you know, we shouldn't be conformed to this world or allow this world to squeeze us into its mold, but we should be transformed by the renewal of our minds. That word transform means the outward form of our lives will change by the renewal of our minds. So God says, as we exchange old thoughts in us for new ones. It's like a car is not working properly. You go to the mechanic and the mechanic says, there are certain things wrong with three parts. I will change those parts and the car will begin to function properly. So a man says life is not working properly. So God says, I will renew, all right, your mind. Some thoughts will be removed. They'll be replaced by other thoughts there. He says, and you'll find out that as a man thinketh, that's how things begin to shape within the life of that man. So God says, in answer to this specific prayer, I will send the thoughts to you as regard that particular thing that shall get on the inside of you in order for there to be that kind of change on the outside. Remember Paul told Timothy, he said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. And this is what I want to speak about. Giving yourself wholly to those things after you meditate on them, that thy profiting may appear, which means that the form of your life will change, may appear unto all, become visible unto all. So we said in answer to prayer, what God does is that he begins to pour out his thoughts, all right, into our hearts. The word of God is the summation of God's thoughts for man. Doesn't mean this all that God knows, but it's the summation of God's thoughts towards man in this particular dispensation, all right? God knows more than what is inside the Bible. Do you get what I'm saying here? This is the thoughts, all right, that he has sent. It's not everything that God knows. It's the thoughts that he has sent, all right, to man, okay? Everything in this Bible talks about the heaven and the earth. It doesn't go into Jupiter. God knows everything. Galaxies, there are many things over there, all right? We might not even be sure. He might have some other folks somewhere very far away who are cousins. We do not know, all right? He said we should be concerned about the earth. That's what he said. Are you following what I'm saying here? But to come and claim that you are the only ones, you'll be surprised. You will get to heaven and see that there are four levels in heaven and other beings are in places. Because this God that created all these plants and variety might have other people, all right, in other places who look totally different from us. So before you say you're a champion, relax, okay? I'm the son of God, nothing happened. Take it easy, all right? You just might be shocked. You get to heaven. You say, ah, who are these ones? Ah, why do we have God? Ah, all right, okay then. So there are thoughts there. So he wants to send his thoughts, all right, into us. And so the word of God, as we begin to read the word of God and expose ourselves to the word of God, thoughts now, all right, begin to come, reassuring things start coming, all right, out of God. Now we saw this, and I just want to say some things, that every thought that comes to you, the reason why any thought comes to you, whether it's godly or demonic, positive or negative, is that it's seeking expression through you. In other words, the thought comes in, so you read the word of God and certain thoughts begin to come to you. Those thoughts, you know, want to be expressed in your life. They want to become part of your character. They want to become events in your life. They want to get into the life of your family, into your business. They want to show themselves there. So those thoughts are seeking, all right, for expression through us, right? So if a thought comes to me that I should lift this monitor, then it's looking for expression, and it's only when this monitor is lifted by me, I get a release, all right, because that thought has been fulfilled. So the thoughts inside you are seeking for expression, right, in you. Now, here is where the quote-unquote problem lies here. If the thought that comes to me, comes to me, pick up this monitor, I know how to pick up the monitor. I can pick up the monitor, so I pick up the monitor here. If the thought comes to me that I should lift, all right, this AC and move it here, I look at it, I know, well, I may not have enough strength, so I know how to do it. I will call these four gentlemen, let us all carry the thing and go there. But when God comes with a thought and he says to you, all right, that the thought is that Covenant Christian Center, you are 200,000, now, how do you fulfill that thought? All right? Because if you just get up and say, all right, all of you go out. You don't know what it is. All right? So this is what I want to look at. When he came to Abraham, a father of many nations have I made thee. Abraham scratches his head. How does a man at this age become a father of many nations? How does it happen? So God comes to you and reveals to you. T- tells you that to every season there's a purpose and everything, and says in this season you are to expand, and it looks 30-fold expansion. Then you scratch your head. How will this thought? And you know what will happen? You will not have rest until that thought manifests. You are not going to be a fulfilled man until that thing manifests. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
All right? For example, if this monitor was on something and the thing was getting destroyed, and I didn't pick it up and I went outside and I entered my car and I was going, you know the thought will follow me as I'm going. Go back. Go back. And some of you, there are things you've seen in the Word of God that is following you. Do you get what I'm saying here? That look, there's more to your life than this. There is more to your life. The question is, how do I get, all right, this particular thing done? And we said every thought, all right, what they are looking for, all right, the thoughts are looking for, they're looking for hosts, right? Which means those who, these thoughts are born in the realm of the Spirit. Satan too is trying to project his own thought. That's why he says, don't be conformed to this world. Through your five physical senses, they are trying to push thoughts in. The Spirit of God from within is revealing, right? And when you are spiritually minded, it means that it's the Spirit controlling your thought, your mind. When you are carnally minded, it means it's the things on the outside controlling your mind, right? So, the reason why a thought comes is looking for expression, right? And therefore, it's saying I need an earthly host in order to materialize or manifest myself there, okay? Every thought born in the realm of the Spirit, and that's what's going on in the Spirit realm. When any spirit wants to manifest anything, it starts with a thought inside somebody. And then the method of materialization now comes in. So we said, what do you do, all right, when these thoughts begin to come from God? So God begins to do that. And so we saw last week that the first form, right, which thought will therefore find, I will say this in the Word, the first thing that thought there that is beyond you, its first form, the first thing, all right, that it wants, all right, done, as it's moving on the inside there as a desire, is that it wants to find its form through your words. Wants your language to change, the way you speak about yourself and your life at this present time. And this determines, therefore, the importance of words. For death and life are in the power of the tongue. So Satan comes with his thoughts and he says, give expression to that, and that's death. God comes in and he says, choose life, speak mine. So words are the first manifestation. In other words, on your journey from here to that thing, the first manifestation, recognizable move in the Spirit that brings about, that will bring about the fulfillment of that particular thing, are the words that now start coming out of your lips. After your encounter with the thoughts of God in the Word, you change the way you speak about yourself, you change, all right, the words that you speak, all right, and you begin to speak about that particular thing that though it is right now consistent with the things that God is showing you out of His Word. What do we mean by this? Look at Matthew chapter 6. But have this at the back of your mind, because this is where we are going to. I will get there next week. That the same way I know how to carry, lift up this monitor, right? The thought comes, the expression is in an action. I know how to lift the monitor. I know how to carry, all right, this AC here by calling four people. What will happen at the end of the day is that after some time it becomes clear in your mind how to become a father of many nations. And the steps that you are going to take are going to be as simple to get there as picking up this monitor. Which means anything that God shows you is going to result into a simple set of actions there, very simple, that you can do. But it's because he has shown you the secret, he has unveiled to you the kind of action that actually creates, all right, this kind of thing. In other words, let me tell you what I'm saying here. You break into the mind of God. Let's say you are unemployed. You break into the mind. That's why it's good to know the ways of God and not just his acts. Right? Break into the mind of God and it shows you that in order to get employment on the earth, all an individual has to do is 1, 2, 3, 4. So you know what? When you've discovered it as a law, you call anybody who is unemployed. You say, you know what? Go and do 1, 2, 3, 4. By the time you get to the fifth place, somebody's going to give you a job. That's the secret, all right, to being on the earth, right, with that, and you cannot. So you understand things. So Jesus wasn't, you know, it wasn't luck. When they needed wine, Jesus knew what to do. Our problem is that we don't know what to do, what to do. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the final harvest there, the final manifestation is going to be an act of obedience. But that obedience is going to be in the wisdom of God. Do you get what I'm saying here? Right? So you're going to do, that's why it says faith without works is dead. You are going to do something, right? And then you understand. For example, for all my Christian life, I've looked at some scripture once, but one day I saw something about last week, and I said, this is this thing here. All right? And I understood why your table has to be prepared in the presence of enemies. I came to understand it. And how that increases. And I shared it with a friend. He said, that is what was being said in Hebrews, that he has anointed you with the oil of gladness. And we both saw it. And I said, that's how your cup actually runs over. I just saw it. Some scripture there. And God said, that's the law. He said, that is the law, all right, of abundance. In fact, when he said, the Lord is your shepherd, therefore you shall not want, he will have to take you through the valley of the shadow of death to fulfill that thing. Do you get what I'm saying here? You don't get your needs met and get into an abundance without getting into crisis. That's why it says, count it all joy when you fall in temptation. He said, that patience might have it, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it's in the midst of crisis, all needs in your life are met. I've not said what I saw, but I've just told you around the place. Okay, that's for another day, all right? Okay. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. It says here, quickly. So the first thing are words here. And it says in 6:31, it says, therefore take no thought saying. So you take thoughts by saying. All right? Matthew 15 makes it clear. 15 and 17. It says this. All right, we start from 16. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, that's the stomach, and is cast out into the draught? But those things that proceed forth out of the mouth, they come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. That's they change the man. When you defile something, it means you leave it in a worse state. Right? Then it tells us, for out of the heart proceeds evil thought. So when he says this, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, which means they are the thoughts that proceed out of the mouth. And then so a thought in the heart proceeds out of the mouth and then corrupts, all right, that man. So if it's a good thought, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil. So a good man out of the good thoughts, instead of defiling the man, it will promote the man, it will purify the man, it will build up the man, all right? So it starts with thoughts, God giving you thoughts, and then you declaring those thoughts, all right, out of your being. Now, we can't keep evil thoughts from coming. You can't, all right? You can't stop Satan from suggesting evil. Do you get what I'm saying here? However, we can keep our own selves from entertaining them. And I've said this, you is your spirit, and inside him is the nature of God. So any evil thought, Satan wants you to think you are the originator, you are not the originator. Right? You sit down inside an office, and somebody says, I don't know, I'm using an example, and you see there's an opportunity to steal. It's not you, it's Satan that came to whisper it. You are created in God's image after his likeness. except you entertain that thought. Right? And in Hebrews chapter 4, because of time, I want to say something again about thoughts. It says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and the intent of the heart. So when God reveals his thoughts to you, he also shows you the intent. The intent is the purpose for this thing. So it tells you there's going to be great expansion in your life, but it shows you this is the reason why. Right? Remember James said, when you ask, he said, the reason why some people don't receive is they ask amiss to consume it on their lust. He said, adulterers and adulteresses, which means you've gone to the world. He said, but listen, you want to consume it upon the intent of God. In other words, you know, even the intent of God could be evangelism. It could be that, listen, the doctors have said, everybody in my family knows what the doctors have said. And nobody in my family is a believer. And I can tell you, they all know the doctors have said there's no way here. And if it manifests in my life, if it manifests in my life and changes completely in my life, then everybody will ask me, who is this Jesus that you know? Right? So the intent, all right, for your business to grow leaps and bounds could just be to preach the gospel in places where nobody else will listen. Are you following what I'm saying? To tell people about the light of God. That people come to you and say, listen, what is going on here? And this is not the Jesus that doesn't understand business. Do you get what I'm saying here? But this is a Jesus. You say, let me tell you, Jesus taught me how to do business. They will sit down and say, what do you mean? I have a book that said, the practical men of the world will embrace the Holy Spirit if the church presents him as he is to the world. That is, there was a man who was, this was written in the 30s, who had collapsed in business. And he said, if this thing about the principle of the Spirit is true, then I will get an idea that will bring me back to life. And he came out with a business idea. And somebody was asking, he said, where is he now? He said, that company that is doing those great things, he is the one that is responsible. The principle of the Spirit worked. He birthed an idea that is changing the whole company.
Thank you for listening.